All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County as well as further afield. In Cork sporting circles, there certainly seems to be only one show in town at the moment. That, of course, is the Cork Hurlers. And to talk to me about tomorrow's clash in Super Value Parky Heave against Tipperary was Matthew Hurley. We're delighted to be joined on the Big Red Bench by Matthew Hurley, also known as the Gaelic Statsman of the Southern Star. Matthew, how are we keeping?
Yeah, all good, Dan. Entertaining weekend last weekend with the football and the hurling all going on for Cork circles anyway. But I think all the focus is definitely on the hurling this week. Probably a must win against Tipperary in more ways than one. So, yeah, keeping well. And hopefully the Rebels can get a win tomorrow to kind of boost their spirits a bit.
Just the last week, we were talking briefly off air there, and you were saying you were actually more disappointed with the hurlers' draw against Clare, even rather than the footballers' gut wrenching 1 point loss to Kerry.
Yeah, I suppose with the footballers, it was just the performance that the lads put in was absolutely superb, considering what happened in Division Two. Well, to be fair, Division Two wasn't a necessarily bad campaign for the Cork footballers. 8 points out of 14 isn't bad, and I think that's their best league campaign points wise since they were Division One in 2015. So overall, it hasn't been a bad season for John Cleary's team. You could tell, like, I was in the media area afterwards, and John was absolutely gut-wrenched afterwards. He was devastated with the loss. They wanted to win the game. They didn't get it in the end. Kerry were deserving victors. I suppose it was a scenario where Kerry were actually very, very good. It was just Cork were on their coattails throughout the whole game. It was disappointing not to get over the line. But look, All-Ireland's group stage draw now happening Wednesday. Hopefully the footballers get a good draw there. But as for the hurlers, we're mentioning off air there again, Dan, like the second half in particular against Clare, it was kind of a tough one to take. They were ahead obviously by 12 at half time, 9 points when Barrett got sent off, and it was just the way they drew that game. It was poor enough. But then again, like I was told by someone during the week, it's probably better that it's happened on the first day of Munster rather than a Munster final or later on the All-Ireland campaign. So you kind of have to take that silver lining a small bit, but tomorrow's game against Tip at home in Parky Heath, it's a must win, really.
I totally agree with you. It is a must win for this Cork side. What do you think the reason was? Oh, well, I know the Shane Barrett sending off. Is that, do you think, just the reason why Cork capitulated in that Clare game?
Well, I think more so as well, and this is probably conjoined with the Barrett sending off, just not keeping their cool at stages as well. Like, there is, you know, the team that Clare were doing, obviously, in the second half, they were roiling the Cork players up. They were doing within what they could, within the rules and things like that.
I wouldn't say within the rules now, but sure, look, that's Clare all over.
Exactly. But at the same time, they knew how to do it at the same time. When you think about it, like, Clare and Limerick are kind of experts at it. They drew Cork into it, and Cork, you know, they lost their cool, they lost their rag themselves. Shane Barrett's red card, it was a red card, it was an elbow to the face, and I'm sure Shane would have felt bad after the incident occurred. Cork could have had another sending off with Alan Connolly. Yes, Adam Hogan was goaling him into it, but Cork kind of have to keep their cool a small bit as well. And Tipperary are kind of a team, they're not like Clare, not like Limerick, but I watched the Tip and Limerick game last week as well, and Tip were giving it to Limerick throughout the whole game. Like the likes of, when they get Owen Connolly, Brian O'Mara in the back line, they were giving it all to the Limerick full forwards. And you look at Tip's finishing on the day as well. I think 78% shot accuracy against Limerick. Jake Morris was on form, John McGrath, so getting them 2 goal chances, burying them. I think Tip will be a massive test for this Cork team tomorrow, especially at home. I think the big advantage for Cork out tomorrow is probably the home advantage. When you look at the amount of tickets sold in the last few weeks, by what I'm hearing, and probably this is going to be true tomorrow, there's going to be way more red than there's going to be blue and gold tomorrow. So I think that will benefit the Corkers massively. But Tipperary will not be a pushover, not by a long stretch. And considering how they put it up to Limerick last weekend, Cork should definitely be aware.
Well, I mean, we outnumbered them in their own backyard in Thurles last year. There's a sea of red there as well. We'll hope for the same tomorrow, and I'm absolutely sure there will be. As you kind of alluded to already, that Clare draw, this might be the best thing that happens the Cork Hurlers all year. Remind them nice and early, we're a long way off in All-Ireland. I'm sure they already know that, to be fair. but the reminder to keep the cool under the pressure situations that the likes of Clare, that the likes of Limerick are going to throw at him and will continue to throw at him, especially seeing you know, there was a chink in the armour with the Barrett sending off there as well. I think this could play into Cork, could be a strength to Cork's coming into this championship season. But look at where we are even compared to last year. A loss against Waterford, look, that was absolutely heartbreaking. You kind of thought the championship was maybe over there and then, to be fair. It was a draw against Clare. The Clare fans are going on acting like they've won the match, but far from it. It was a draw, lad. Sorry to break it to you. So, look, I think this is going to help Cork ultimately throughout the year.
It is, definitely. Let's not lose sight of the results of the cold light of day, Dad. We went up to Ennis, to the All-Ireland champions, and got a draw. I know at halftime it looked like Cork were going to ramp them 12 points up, 9 points when descending off happened. But at the same time, when you looked at it before throwing, would Cork fans have taken a draw going up to Ennis? Probably, yeah. When you look at Clare being All-Ireland champions in their own backyard, obviously a large Clare support there, you were thinking, okay, a draw would be a decent result. But it was just how the game transpired that you were disappointed with some elements afterwards. Like, yeah, but yes, Clare were using a bit of underhand tactics and things like that with the fouls off the ball. But at the same time, their shooting accuracy in the second half was superb. I think it was only 4 misses in the second half compared to, I think, Cork had a 70% shot accuracy in the first half, 66% overall. So it dropped by 4%. And I think, as you said there correctly, like if Cork need to learn from these mistakes sooner moving into the championship, no doubt about it. But at the same time as well, someone said to me during the week as well that about the home games, if Cork can win their 2 home games against Tippett and Waterford, which they are expected to do, then 5 points should get you out of Munster. You won't be thinking about permutations and things like that. It should get you into the top 3. So I think that's the focus of Pat Ryan at the moment and his team. Get the 2 wins against Tipperary and Waterford. Let's see what happens at the Gaelic Grounds against Limerick, and let's see if it gets us into a Munster final. If it does, brilliant. There's a chance of winning it first Munster Championship since 2018. If it doesn't, then we can regroup and go into the All-Ireland Series. And look at where we finished after finishing third in Munster last year, Dan. We got all the way to the All-Ireland Final, where on another day we could have won. So I don't think it's doom and gloom just yet. But then again, I've repeated it, but it is very, very vital to Tip is a must-win game tomorrow, as is Waterford the next game in Parky Keef after that as well.
It might be a loaded question, too hard to even answer, but I've been asking myself all week, why do referees always seem to come down? And this is with the Cork glasses on, keep in mind. But I do think there is something in it, that referees always seem to come down on the Cork hurlers rather than targeting the Clare Limerick, who, let's face it, are normally the instigators of these incidents.
You would say so, maybe before this year, but even looking at not necessarily the Clare game, I think Clare did get away with a few things last week in Ennis. But at the same time, when you look at Limerick, even the smaller things, Limerick have been it's seen on social media as a team that throws rather than hand passes. They were pulled up for the throw ball, I think, 3 or 4 times last week at Sefton Stadium. So you could argue that the referees are coming down more in Limerick this year. I don't know about Clare. We'll have to see as the year goes on. But there is an argument about Limerick in particular that the referees are coming down more in Limerick. But it's happening all across the country, Dan. If you look across both codes, the GAA are trying to eradicate like high tackle challenges, dirty challenges, things like that off the ball. You look at the football, Paddy Clifford's challenge of Matty Taylor. Many people would say that was harsh. But at the end of the day, Paddy did put his arm around Matty Taylor's neck, and that was a red card. You look at the league, Tipperary and Kilkenny, there was, I think it was 4 separate challenges, 4 red cards for high challenges there. So the referees all across the country, not just in Munster, are just clamping down on those sorts of instances as well. So, and there is an argument that they are clamping down more in Limerick. Maybe we'll see it with Clare, maybe tomorrow against Waterford. We'll have to see, obviously, but it should be interesting to see how the referees do perform as the championships goes on.
Right, I've got enough given out about Clare and Limerick out of my system now. We'll have a look at the Tipperary game at long last. How do you see these teams matching up tomorrow, Matthew?
It's a very interesting game, considering, like, I think Cork, a lot of people would say they're in a good place at the moment, obviously with the team selection and all that. Quite surprisingly, actually, I looked at the team last night or this week, and I think there's only one change, Shane Barr being out and Decky Dawson coming in, which is not a bad show, to be fair. Like, Decky has done very, very well in previous years, especially in the All-Ireland Championship last season, where He was a colossal figure in the semi-final in particular against Limerick. I would have expected maybe Rob Downey to be replaced in this game. It looks like he's fine, considering like he did go off with an injury. It's clear, not too serious according to many people, but he is playing in this game. It'd be interesting, especially in the first, say, 20, 30 minutes, how Rob is on the tip players. I don't know who he'll go on tomorrow. Will it be Jake Morris, who will be centre-forward tomorrow for Tipperary? I'm not entirely sure about that. But it should be interesting to see the matchups more than anything, because like Tip's main man the other day, Darragh McCarthy, outstanding with 8 points. I think 100% shot accuracy the other day as well. Actually not. I think 8 shots taken out of 12. But for a 19-year-old, that's absolutely superb. And Tip didn't play Darragh McCarthy or Sam O'Farrell in the under-20s during the week as well, which indicates these guys are ready to go for senior tomorrow. John McGrath, goal scorer, obviously. He hasn't shown at the Munster Championship over the last few years, but he got two the other day against Limerick and was a colossal throughout. Jay Marshall, centre-forward. He's slowly but surely becoming one of the main players for Tipperary, and he needs minding, obviously, tomorrow. Another thing for Cork, and I noticed this in the Tip and Limerick game, Cork can't concede a free anywhere on the pitch, because like if it's close in, Darragh McCarthy will take him all day long. If it's long out, Owen Connolly proved last week against Limerick, he converted four in the first half alone. Cork can't concede any daft enough frees in and around even long range out or short distance either. Brian O'Mara was brilliant on Jason Ford at stage, so I know he scored a point against Limerick only, but was very, very good. Alan Tynan as well around the middle of the park. They obviously have the likes of Noel McGrath and Seamus Kennedy to come onto the pitch. Craig Morgan did very well in midfield. So Tip will offer a threat tomorrow, but it's how Cork do deal with us in many ways. But then again, Cork have our own threats. Brian Haynes was absolutely superb the other day. Patrick Horgan showed why he isn't ageing as such. Alan Connolly, two brilliant points against Clare the other day. It's going to be an unreal battle, Dan, tomorrow. I think the main thing from a Cork point of view is not to concede maybe stupid or avoidable frees to Tipperary, considering the likes of Owen Connolly and Darragh McCarthy can take them either short distance or long range.
I was going to say, were you surprised by the impact of our bench last week? But it was really the lack of impact. Look, Jorm Ellerick was fantastic when he came on, but it was the forward line, Matthew. Would you be concerned about that heading into tomorrow, that a lot of these guys you would have thought should have been scoring their chances were missing them? And look, I think it's fair to say a lot of them didn't have great games when they did come on.
Yeah, and the three forwards that came on other than Decky Dalton, who will obviously start tomorrow, Brian Roach, he got a point to be fair to him and was a colossal figure until, coincidentally, Brian Roach's point actually came right before the Barrett sending off. So, like, once that happened, did his game deviate a bit? Like, it remains to be seen there. Shane Kingston and Dermot Healy probably didn't offer as much as they'd hope when they came onto the pitch. Dermot Healy, you have to factor as well, Dan, about Dermot Healy. That was his first championship appearance. So maybe tomorrow, if he gets more of a chance against this Tipperary team with Cork having 15 men on the pitch, you would hope he'd have more of an impact on the game. Shane Kingston, you would hope as well that it would be a better showing than what he did offer when he came onto the pitch last week. But there are other options for Cork. The likes of Jack O'Connor, who is on the bench tomorrow from Stars, is a very good forward for Cork as well. You have other players that come onto the pitch as well. So I do think there are some very good players on the bench for Cork. I just think the league final, let's not forget, against Tipton, and it was probably forgotten in the cold light of day that the performance was very, very average, I would say, in the second half, but the game was wrapped up, so it probably didn't matter. The game against Clare, some things need to be brushed up on, obviously, but I think Kingston and Healy in particular probably need to improve in this game against Tipperary. But I think if Healy does come on, like I kept track of when they came on the last week against Clare. I think Dermot Healy came on in the 64th minute against Clare. So it wasn't much time to stamp his authority on the game. Like, you consider there was 6 minutes of added time, 6 minutes to go of normal time. That's 12 minutes. It's not really enough time for him to show his class. If he comes on maybe with 20 minutes to go of normal time, 50 minutes of the game, I do think he has a lot more to offer. He has offered a lot in the lead, to be fair to him. And I do think he is a good hurler, same as Shane Kingston. So we'll see tomorrow, but they definitely do need to offer more than what they did against Clare.
Who do you think goes on Dara tomorrow? Are you putting Shawnee on him?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Niall O'Leary's well able to look after himself. Yeah, so I think he's a very good shout as well. he probably will be one of them too. I think Sean O'Donoghue, for strength more than ability in many ways, and Dar McCarthy, yes, he's a superbly wristed hurler. He's a brilliant hurler, 19 years of age though, probably under the strength category in terms of senior hurling. So I think Sean O'Donoghue, I would agree there that he probably is the right man to go on him, considering Sean's strength. His hurling ability is not bad either, so I think Sean is probably the right man to do it. And Niall O'Leary, I think his hurling ability is absolutely superb. I do think he's well able to, you know, annoy a forward in many ways as well. You've seen what he did with Seamus Flanagan during the league as well. I do think Niall O'Leary is well able to look after himself in many facets of the play as well. So either cornerback, I wouldn't mind. But I think in terms of strength-wise and in terms of maybe bringing Dar McCarthy, you know, the mindset that he is in the senior game right now, I think Sean O'Donoghue is a definite candidate to mark him at this present moment of time, considering Sean's strength.
Absolutely. Well, look, we'll only wait and see for tomorrow, Matthew. I'm certainly looking forward to it. Lastly, give us a prediction. Always the toughest one asking the journalists anyway.
Journalists, Dan, sure, we're all journalists here, but I think Cork should win this. I think they'll win it by about 4 points. I don't think it will be 10 points like it was in the league. I think Tipperary have a lot more to offer than what they did in the league this year, in the league final, obviously, and in the championship last season. But let's not forget, Tip did beat us in Semple Stadium, so they are not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say Cork will win this game by about 4 points. It's going to be a close one, though.
Yeah, I'll follow in with that prediction about a 4 or 5 point margin, as I'm saying. Matty Early of the Southern Star, thanks so much for speaking to us once again.
Thanks very much, Dan.
All right, best of luck to all the Cork hurlers and Pat Ryan for their clash against Tipperary tomorrow in Super Value, Parky Heave, throwing time of 4 p.m. Now to a bit of football, and after their amazing win over Waterford in the Munster Derby during the week in Turner's Cross, Tim Clancy spoke to the media ahead of their clash tonight. Yes, a rare Saturday game for Cork City, and they're playing Sligo Rovers in the showgrounds. I don't know what's happened to my voice there, but anyway, so safe travels to all the City fans heading there and back.
Yeah, look, I think the most important thing was the result. We've been getting performances. I thought the performance on Monday, I suppose, was excellent, but we weren't getting the points from the games. And a couple of the drawn games as well, we played really well and didn't win the game. So the most important thing, obviously, on Monday was to get a win. And look, we left it late, but we got the 3 points, which was the aim. Yeah, looking again, the Friday Monday game, they were brilliant down in Waterford. They had a really good before now win. They were excellent. I'm sure John will be really disappointed with last night. Obviously they got beaten 3-0, and I suppose the probably frustrating part from him is the consistency levels, and we just have to prepare though for the team to play Waterford on the Friday, and knowing that they're back home now and they're going to have a real go against us on Saturday in a game that they'll look at and probably earmark as one that they can win. We've still got Shawnee and Malik to come back in a couple of weeks, which I think changes us completely as a team. I think if we can go and get a win on Saturday, which is not going to be an easy thing to do, Sligo are, when they're on form, they're a really good side, to show that by beating Shamrock Rovers this season as well. So and the win they had down in Waterford was very, very comfortable. So but if we can get a victory all of a sudden, then the league table changes massively. We spoke about it off air there a second ago about Bowes probably going into the weekend were in a bad place, and now they're 5 points off top, and Derry have won 2 and 3 days, and all of a sudden they're 3 points off top. So if you put a run of 2 or 3 wins together, look, the league table changes completely. We'll be back probably similar time frame, hopefully. There's a lot of good progress we've made at both of them, and to have the two of them and Keats out as well for a sustained period, it's freaky for practically your whole front line to get wiped out. But look, it is what it is. But we're hoping to have Malik and Shawnee back on the training pitch, please God, in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, and again, look, they scored a brilliant goal. Could have been avoidable from us, yes, obviously, but if you look at the delivery was very good, and the header was fantastic from 12 yards out, and it's probably another one of them games we didn't take the chances that we created, and then made a couple of other decisions that possibly could have gone our way in other games. And if you get a win there, like, look, it puts you in a good footing where we were in the league at the time. But again, now we've got to focus on Saturday, and the aim is to try and go to the showgrounds and get a win. Yeah, look, we looked at Monday's game. We lost four on the bounce. It was a Munster derby. And we tried to get as many experienced players on the pitch as we could. Kit missed out. He's been excellent for us. Freddie missed out. He's been very good. Rio's been very good as well. But we probably just went for a little bit more experience and probably know the league a little better than the new lads. So, but anyway, we're able to make changes after an hour and we're able to make a good impact. And look, you see that with Kit getting the winner as well. So, in a few weeks' time, we'll have another couple of players back and then all of a sudden we're looking stronger again. Yeah, look, after 5 minutes he went down injured and I thought this can't be serious. And then he got another tackle where he had to get 3 stitches in his calf. So that was like a sort of an impact one that was sort of a dead calf as well. But considering he hasn't played a lot of football in the last 6 months, he got a good turn out of him. You look at his stats with his high speed running and sprints, one of the highest on the pitch for the time he was on. So he works really hard. We had another week's training with him, and he gets to know our players a bit better. We get to know his strengths, and again, he gets that little bit sharper as well. So yeah, I thought there was a good shift out of him. I thought he gave us that physical presence up top that we've probably been missing since Derry.
He's alright for Saturday, so is it?
He'll be fine for Saturday, yeah.
And just kind of like what to say about him, maybe kind of if you said you were impressed with him and things like that, and he was obviously only in the door maybe 24 hours or so, was it?
Yeah, look, again, he's you can see he draws free kicks. He's a target man where he occupies centre backs, and again, this league is very, very physical, so you need to have a physical presence. He's a good size. And again, he's technically very good for a player that's that big, so he likes to field centre backs and hold the ball up, and that's something that we have been missing, and that will allow us to get the most out of the wide players and the likes of Kit and Muzz and Evan and them players behind him as well. So look, we were happy with the 60-65 minutes that he played, and again, we build on his fitness now for Saturday.
Yeah, Charlie's a good hold up player as well, but was it kind of a replacement you look for Rory? So really, was it
Keats is obviously, again, as if good physical, strong runner as well, and he's an absolute goal threat. So as soon as we lost Keats and Sean, he was going to be out for a few more weeks, it was like, right, we have to try and replace probably Keats for the rest of the season as well. We got to look at that. So and then, like, as we said, there was loads of options put to us, and you had to go through the avenues of trying to find out as much as you can about players and to get first hand feedback from previous clubs, and then a couple of people that I knew him personally that's in the club itself. It was always good as well.
Just in terms of mood, obviously, since the Watford game, it's only been a couple of days, but has there been a noticeable maybe change in some positive around the place?
No, not really. The lads have been pretty positive. Bar the Shamrock Rovers game, I thought we were second best, and we were miles off them that night. I think coming off the pitch against Bowes, I don't think we felt inferior to them. We didn't get the result, which is the frustrating thing. And even Pats the week before, losing 2-0, there was large parts of the game where you can take positives out as well. So we haven't really had to build them up. And after getting the win against Waterford in the manner in which we did with 2 late goals, it's obviously going to be a little spring in their step. But look, it's only going to be a good result if we can back it up now on Saturday against Sligo.
Yeah, and how big would back-to-back wins be after the run you're on, I suppose?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy in this league to put a string of wins together. But if you look at the way Sligo play, I think if you're in any way off it, you'll get beaten. So it's a huge game for us. It's a massive game for them as well. But obviously, Galway are going to be playing Derry, I think, this weekend as well, or Waterford and Derry this weekend as well. So it's an opportunity that if you can get a win on the board, it's going to give you points that other teams around you and possibly just ahead of you can't make up on you. So yeah, it's a huge game.
Just any injury news or no matter?
No, we've no fresh injuries for the weekend, and the lads are probably a few weeks away in Malik and Shawnee, and obviously Keats is going to be out long term. He's had his operation and all, and he's getting the stitches out next week, which is brilliant. And then that's going to be his road to recovery started. And Conor Dryden is still a little bit away as well with his cruciate.
Just final one, just on Daniels again. He signed up till July, is it? Is it a case of see how we get on, and it's obviously Keating's out till?
Yeah, look, it's I don't know if it's to July. I think that's just sort of the next window we're looking at as well. Like, so it gives Didi an opportunity to come in and play games and get fit until July, and then look, we reassess it then.
Yeah, that one kicking off in the showgrounds at 7:45. Cork City versus Sligo Rovers, a huge game in the battle to avoid relegation. Now, the ref's whistle has gone for halftime, but stay with us, as in the second half, we have plenty of LGFA and Camogie action to get. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Go Times, Red FM. Dan Casey in the hot seat with you for the next half hour. And it's still 1-0 to Piemont United in Turner's Cross in their All-Ireland Cup clash versus Cork City. 70 minutes are gone on the clock there, so City do have time to turn things around. We're unusually going to talk a bit of baseball now. Well, our very own Roy O'Hagan is. He's been chatting with Brett Sutherland, president and founder of the Cork side, the Renegades, about their plans for the season, the rapid expansion of the club and the league they've set up to get more players in Cork involved in the game. That gets underway tomorrow with a big, big event in the Tank Field happening out in Mayfield. Enjoy.
All right, we're moving into summer. It is baseball season. I've got my Yankees t-shirt on and delighted to be joined by Royal Pal Brett Sutherland of the Cork Renegades to talk all things baseball. How are you, sir?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm very, very well. I'm very, very well. You must be happy it's baseball season.
Yes, yeah, it's been a long off season preparing a lot of exciting things for baseball in Cork and Munster, and it kicked off about a month ago with our first away game. We had a doubleheader up in Cork, we won that, and then we had another home game 2 weekends ago, we won those, and this Sunday is the launch of the Munster League.
Excellent. Just before we get on to that, Brett, just fill us in, I suppose, on last year and I suppose how the season wrapped up.
Last year we did really, really well. We had a new head coach in place who was brilliant, and we finished third in the National League, which is a really, really great achievement for only our second year competing in the National League. So yeah, so we're really, really happy with that.
Yeah, you bring in a new head coach, I suppose, it's new ideas, it's a fresh voice, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, new ideas, like, and also like a different atmosphere, like a culture that's created within the team. So it's not just about the new ideas of how to play the sport. It's new ideas about how to approach the game, about how to approach training, and just develop sort of a different vibe within the team.
How have you, suppose, dealt with, I suppose, the increased participation levels in baseball across Cork? I suppose, like, you have gotten more popular and popular every time I've spoken to you. You seem to be adding more numbers and more numbers. So how are you guys dealing with that?
With a lot of WhatsApping. We're managing really well. So when we started in 2023, we had like 25 players. Now we're creeping up to the 80. So we've got 80 players. So it does involve a lot of management and a lot of coordination, but thankfully the team that I work with, like the committee and all of the coaches and all of the rest of the admin team, we work really well together. So, and we just make it work for everyone as much as we can. So we're managing.
Yeah, I know, like from personal experience, that running a club is quite difficult, and it almost becomes a full-time job on top of your full-time job as well. So that level of stress to deal with too.
Yes. There's a lot of that goes on, but thankfully, it's not a thankless task. So everybody appreciates what we do. But yes, it does take an incredible amount of organising.
When you see you've got 80 players coming to you guys now at this stage, like, I'd imagine it's like all nationalities are coming to you guys, and I suppose it's a good way for people not from Cork and not from Ireland to meet new people.
That's a really good point. We do have a lot of different nationalities. We're up to about 23 or 24. And we get people from all fringes and all walks of life that come and see baseball because they might have played it or they find it interesting to watch. And yes, friendships are created, and we have strangers that never met that are now best friends. Like we've got two people on the team that are both from Brazil, but they didn't know each other, that they were from Brazil. And I said, you do know you guys have both from Brazil, and they were like, we've been playing together for a year and I didn't even know that. so now a lot of that happens. Yeah, it's very good to see.
So I'd imagine, like, with 80 players, you have to have more than, I suppose, one team, I suppose, at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. So we had, obviously we have the Renegades who are competing in the National League, but the National League is very fatiguing. So for example, in our first game of the season, we had to travel up to Dublin. We left at 6:45 in the morning and we got back at 10 o'clock at night. So it's very, very fatiguing. Not everybody wants to do that. And the more and more players we get, a lot of them are brand new or sort of like intermediates, and they perhaps don't want to compete at that national level. So we decided to set up our own league outside of the National League of Baseball. So we've created what's called the Munster League. So that is anybody in and around the Cork area, anybody in the Munster province can come and just enjoy baseball here locally in Cork with no stress of travelling. The cost of travelling is non-existent. You come to Cork, it's only played on a Sunday, and it's a very relaxed atmosphere. We are focused on the game, but it's also focused on development and fun and friendship, like you said.
Yeah, it's fantastic, man. So how many teams now have you got in this Munster League?
Yeah, so we're starting with two. Just to get the ball rolling, we've got the Bears and the Druids. We're starting with two, but like I said, more interest coming every week. So hopefully we will have enough numbers to fill up all of those teams comfortably, and then we can just start developing other teams. So we've got other teams set up on paper. We just need to make sure that we've got enough players to fill it.
Must give you an enormous sense of pride, Brett, when someone comes to you with no, I suppose, baseball skills to then go on and move on and play with a team and take those skills that they've learned and put them into practice.
It fills me with a lot of pride doing what I do as the president, but I'd say that pride probably is with the coaches as well, because the coaches work really, really hard with all of the players. But yes, we're incredibly proud of what we've achieved in, this will be our third competitive season, so yeah. But we're just really, really excited for this development of the sport in Cork, because it is becoming so popular that, you know, we need to be able to facilitate it. And that's what the Munster League is about, because it's accessible. You can just turn up to Tankfield next door to Brian Dillon's and just come and have a game of baseball. You can come and watch. And this event that we've got this coming Sunday, first pitch is at 1 o'clock, but we have music. We've got an amazing food truck called Lucha Libre. Which some people will know from Ballin colleagues. So he's doing hot dogs, nachos, burritos, all sorts of amazing food. So he's going to come and do the food truck. We're going to have a baseball game going. It's going to be the first of its kind in the history of Cork, the history of Munster, and anybody is welcome to come and watch. And we're going to have stations set up. So we've got gloves, balls, we've got bats. If you want to have a go in part of our little training area, you can do that as well.
Has the success of the Renegades over the past couple of years caught you by surprise, Brett?
Yes. I won't beat around the bush. It has caught me by surprise, but it's just one of those sports that's so accessible to people. Like, you don't have to be ultra fit to play it. You don't have played it before to learn how to do it. It's just such an accessible sport. You can just be anybody in the realms of life and just come and play baseball, because ultimately it's throwing and catching and hitting a ball with your friends. Yeah. Like, even a professional baseball player, the people that kept, like, you know, with Juan Soto, who's just joined the Mets, but we won't talk about how much he got paid. Almost, what, like $500 million?
800 million, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, so even more. 800 million to play baseball, and he's considered good because he can hit the ball 3 times out of every 10. Do you see what I'm saying? He's considered one of the best in the world. So we're overwhelmed by the interest in it, and it's just getting more and more and more and more and more, and anybody's welcome.
I still have my Juan Soto Yankees jersey upstairs. I'm not sure whether I should burn it or bin it or just take the Soto off and call it a Ben Rice jersey at this point.
Wipe your tears with it.
Oh, I was heartbroken when he left, man, even though he's only with the Yankees for a year. Absolutely heartbroken. With the growth of the sport in Cork, Brett, I mean, like, we've been talking now for a couple of years in this show, you know, you've got the facilities up in Tankfield next to Brian Dillon's, but to get a facility of your own, it's something that you've been talking about a lot, and it's been something you've been trying to get onto councillors a lot and politicians about, getting a place of your own just for baseball in Cork. How difficult has that been, and I suppose, and has there been any progress updates in that?
So on a scale of 1 to 10 of how difficult it's been, it's 10. Mm-hmm. So it's been really, really difficult to get, but that's not because the council haven't been welcoming. The city council have just said that they don't have anything within the city limits. So I think probably the next port of call is to look for a private investor. Do you know? So we have to go outside of what I wanted to do was create a municipal facility that anybody can use, but that's not happening. And with the growth of the sport here and also nationally, I think the only route is an independent investor to come and buy land, and then we can develop that land. Because sooner or later, we aren't going to be able to facilitate the growth, you know, and we just can't give it to people because we're going to run out of space. And there's only so long that you can play on an old GAA pitch that, as many people know, it's used by a lot of people. So we have to pick up. Unfortunately, we have to pick up dog dirt. We have to pick up, you know, like broken plastic, broken glass, and it's not our field. So we'd get people through the field mid game. So finding our own field is really, really important. And we're just kind of at loggerheads at the moment. Like, we're just stuck, you know. But it's something that needs to change for sure.
Yeah, certainly. And if there's anyone listening that could help, I'm sure Brett would love to hear from you. So please get in touch with the Cork Renegades on social media. Nationally, Brett, is the interests that you're seeing in Cork being replicated on the national scale?
I wouldn't really say that it is, just gauging on, because Baseball Ireland, when they have their AGM, they give us like statistics and numbers of how the sport has changed from the previous year to the year that we were talking about. So I'd say that we're probably ahead of the curve in terms of growth, more so than the rest of the teams in the Republic anyways. But the only thing that we really need to concentrate on is developing a cadet team, so like youth. Which is something that we're planning this year to launch next year, hopefully.
But
I'd say we're definitely growing, probably a lot faster than a lot of the established teams in and around Dublin.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right, so big day tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow when this interview airs out. Yeah. 1 o'clock at the Tang Field, and everyone's welcome.
Everyone is welcome. There's going to be amazing food from Lucha Libre, obviously. Mm. We're outside the GAA club, so there's pints there if people want to have pints. We're going to have music. Friends and families are welcome, and we've got little stations for people to come and try out baseball. And you can chat to anyone that's wearing a Bears, a Druids or a Renegades uniform. There'll be some other coaches there as well. So it's going to be, the crack will be mighty.
Excellent. Brett, as always, a pleasure, sir. Best of luck with the Munster League, and I've no doubt we'll be chatting to you soon.
Cool. Rory, you're the man. Thank you.
All right, be sure to get to Tang Field tomorrow if you can, and if you're interested in a bit of baseball. To a bit of camogie now, though, and tomorrow Cork and Kilkenny meet in the 2025 Electric Ireland All-Ireland Camogie Minor A Final at UMPC Nolan Park in Kilkenny, with throw-in at 20-5. Ahead of the big game, Joe McCarthy spoke to Cork Camogie captain Rachel Murphy about the Rebel season and preparations for their biggest match of the year.
Now, on Sunday, the 27th of April 2025, at UPMC Nolan Park, the 2025 Minor A All-Ireland Championship Final takes place between the hosts, Kilkenny and Cork. The Rebels are back in a Minor All-Ireland Final, having reached the semi-finals last year, and they are being led this year by a Ballinora club person, and she is the captain of the Cork Minor Camogie team, and that is Rachel Murphy, and she joins us now on the line. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
It is All-Ireland Final Week. What a thing to say to somebody, but it is for yourself and your teammates. You've had a fantastic run this year under Mossy O'Sullivan and his fantastic backroom team. But Rachel, when did all this begin, this cycle? I know you're one of a number of players who were on last year's minor panel, but for the 2025 panel, when did things start? We're in April now, we're heading to an All-Ireland Final, but when did it all start for this particular group?
It started back in November in 2024. We had an extended panel of 53 girls, and then we trained hard for about 2 months, and then we cut it down once we got into January then.
It sounds pretty intense, because there's always a lot of interest anytime we do the interviews with the camogie underage sections, the under-16s, the minors, even the under-23s. I would imagine the experience that you gained last year, has it been really helpful this year when you've entered it in the minor championship?
Yeah, definitely. Just after experiencing it last year, and then like just knowing what we're up against, and it definitely just like, you know, you're up against, and it just makes it more, it makes you more determined this year.
Yeah, and quite competitive too, I'd imagine. Like, I mean, we, you know, there's only 15 that can start, but a lot of people trial for these particular panels. Even once you make the final panel, there's no guarantee you're going to be starting every week.
Yeah, I know, like, you can tell in training and stuff, like, no one spot is safe. You're always training hard. There's no let up, there's no nothing. You're always constantly competing for a spot, like.
And your manager and backroom team, we've interviewed Mossy many, many times here on the bench this year. He seems like a very nice guy, but is he a hard taskmaster on the training pitch?
Mossy, I'd say, would probably be one of the nicer people, I'd say. When it comes to game day now, to be fair, like, you'd be scared of him, but I'd say it would be our coach Liam was the one you'd be scared of most of the time in training.
Okay, they'd be delighted to hear that, yeah, coming from their captain. But and being captain as well, of a minor panel, like, there's a bit of extra responsibility on you. I know there's quite a lot of leaders in that particular dressing room, as Mossy has explained to us before here on the Big Red Bench. But for you, Rachel, first of all, it must be a lovely honour, and also for your club, Ballinora, to be the Cork captain, and for your family as well. But, you know, with that extra responsibility, do you feel that on your shoulder sometimes?
A small bit, yeah, but like, I think just as a team, we're all just very close. Like, I've been friends with some of these girls for years, and so like, it's actually, it's not even half as bad as you'd expect it to be, but sometimes you would feel the pressure.
And you've dealt quite well with that pressure this year, but you just mentioned actually, before we talk about that, the panel, I mean, when I look down through the team sheet, there's quite a sprinkling of different clubs. There's Aeroge, there's Éireann's Own, there's Newtown Chandrum, Ballinhassig, Ballinora, obviously we have to mention them, Enniskeen, Ballincollig, Valley Rovers, St Catharines, quite a very diverse group that's come together. I mean, how have you managed to gel so well? Has it just been the bond that you've gotten being on the road together, or has it been all the training sessions and those challenge matches? But how have you come together so well to reach an All-Ireland final?
Yeah, I definitely think, like, I've known some of the girls for years. I go to school with a number of them, but it's just, even the girls I've just met this year, it's just, we're together every second day and we're just training the whole time, and it's just, we get along very well together, and the coaches definitely help us to do that as well. So I definitely think it's just good, like, we're all just, they're all such lovely girls, and it's just easy to get along with them.
It is quite competitive at the minor grade. I mean, we're one off. Now, I know there's an under 23. There used to be an intermediate grade before you hit the senior level. But at inter-county level, Rachel, you know, a lot of, you know, young girls will be listening to this and listening to the Cork Minor Camogie captain. What would you say to those young girls that are, you know, involved in kind of maybe under 12, under 14, under 16, that might have aspirations to, you know, to move up into inter-county? What kind of dedication are we talking about?
I definitely say just, like, stick with it. Do what you're doing, like training, going out, even hitting the ball every second day, maybe. Just like, I know that when I was 12, 13, like, all I wanted to do was be on a Cork team. But like, you just have to keep working at it. Even if you don't make it the first year you want to, you just keep going. Because I definitely know there's two or three girls this year, it's their first year being on a Cork team. And like, they're girls who just didn't give up on it.
Yeah, that's very, very good advice, and it's obviously working for you. This year in the All-Ireland Minor A Championship, things have gone very, very well for Cork. Two wins and a draw from the group stage against Tipperary, Kilkenny, who you'll meet in the All-Ireland Final, and Dublin. This all, of course, preceded an All-Ireland semi-final recently at Castle Road, where you defeated the reigning champion. You defeated Tipperary 213-110. You scored 5 points in that game and were quite pivotal. Yeah. How important was it, you know, for that game to be at Castle Road, Rachel, and how important was it to have the crowd behind you and to get you over the line against a really good Tip team?
I definitely think it definitely drove us on, just being at home. You know, we were like, we can let them come down here and beat us, especially after the first time we played them, we drew with them, and that was in Castle Road as well. And we just, like, it definitely drove us on being at home. We said we couldn't lose in our home pitch. We couldn't draw on our home pitch. And it just, I think it was just the buzz that we got off the whole crowd and just the day in itself and just being at home. I think it was very important.
It was, and you mentioned as well, being at home, on Sunday you'll be taking on Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Final, a Kilkenny team that you beat 310-113 a little bit earlier in the season. That won't count for anything going into this All-Ireland Final. But Rachel, from your own point of view, does it matter that you're going to play it at Nolan Park, or are you just going to take on Kilkenny? It doesn't matter what pitch you play on.
I think we definitely, we just can't think about that now. We just have to show up on the day and do what we can, because obviously, like, it's going to probably drive Kilkenny on small in their home pitch, but like, realistically, we can't think about that. And I think on the day, it's just whoever shows up.
Indeed it is, who will show up on the day. We're about to find out this coming weekend, because as I mentioned, on Sunday 27th of April 2025, the Minor A All-Ireland Camogie Championship Final takes place at UPMC Nolan Park between Cork and Kilkenny. The Cork captain, Rachel Murphy, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and everybody here on the Big Red Bench wishes you and the entire panel all the best of luck in that All-Ireland Final.
Thank you.
All right, best of luck to them tomorrow. Elsewhere, Cork suffered a disappointing loss today in their TG Cahir Munster Ladies Football Senior Championship clash, where it finished Kerry 113 to Cork's 10 points in Clondalkin. And Joe McCarthy caught up with senior boss Joe Carroll after the game.
Joe Carroll, disappointment first of all, like any manager and any set of players, the girls are disappointed, the Cork players are disappointed that they've lost today, but the performance in the second half and holding the All-Ireland champions to two frees, that's a lot that you can build on surely for the weeks ahead.
Yeah, Joe, I suppose the disappointment really is our first half performance, but the positive is the second half performance was much, much better. Like, probably outscored Kerry and we were 11 points down at one stage, we brought it back to 4 at one stage in the second half, so that's a huge positive, and we showed great fight and grit, and which we didn't show in the first half, to be fair. I think we were in a small bit of awe, Kerry, a small bit, despite the fact that you try and drill it into the players that were every bit as good as them. They didn't stand out in the first half, but look, in the second half we had a very good second half.
How much was a wind a factor?
Yeah, well, it was strong, but overall, I suppose, with Kerry's kickers, a lot of Kerry's kickers are very big, strong players, and they're great kickers of a ball from 30 or 40 yards, like, which is maybe unique in girls' football, a small bit, because a lot of the scores are got in around the D, and they were kicking from well outside the D, and they had us in all sorts of trouble. But we had opted, as we won the toss, which we didn't, to play with the wind in the first half, and that didn't happen. And I think it helped us a bit in the second half, but I think our play was better as well in the second half. We got stuck into Kerry a small bit more, and we were running and working harder for each other as well in the second half.
Especially in defence, considering you were missing your captain, the way they just really stood up in the second half. They were finding it tough in the first half and Kerry were in full flow, and sometimes that's going to happen to the All-Ireland champions. But the manner in which you defended in the second half, Joe, much tighter and as a pack and moved the ball quicker. That's what you want going into the next few weeks of the Munster Championship.
Yeah, in the second half, we hunted a lot better in packs, which we didn't do in the first half, because we were letting players very much isolated in the first half and Kerry were dictating the play far too easy. And, like, it's hard to be blamed a full back line when the ball is going in very, very good to the full forward line, but I think we tightened up a lot more in that, both in our defence and our own middle of the field. We were far more aggressive than we were in the start, and it had a big effect, even though we spoke about all that before the match. But look, I suppose it's a learning curve for a lot of these, and we used 5 subs as well today, and I think that the bench had a bit of an impact coming in, and it's going to have a bigger impact going forward with 2 more games, one next week and one the week after.
Yeah, just finally on that, I mean, getting this game under some of the younger players' belts, going up against the All-Ireland champions, heading into 2 equally tough games in Munster, as you well know, against Tip and against Waterford, this will bring them on, but it's going to be tough. But the capability within this group is that you can improve again.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can improve again, and we have Tipperary next Sunday, and it's going to be no easy game above there, as we found out when we played them in the league. There'll be no easy game, and they have Waterford tomorrow, so they have their second home game as well, so that could stand to them, and that'll be a tight match up there. And so look, we'll only take it one game at a time and see how we get on against Tipperary next Sunday.
Thanks for having Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
And he also caught up with Emma Cleary after the game.
This is definitely an improvement there from the first half. I think probably our turnovers there in the first 10-15 minutes cost us big time. But I think we definitely opened them up a bit the second half, and we're going to do need to do a lot more of that in the next couple of weeks, and if we meet them down the line again. So yeah, I suppose loads to learn from, but also a good few positives as well.
Yeah, that first half, I mean, they kicked 1-11 in the first half, but you can even hear it in your ears and my ears. The wind was such a factor today. They made use of it in the first half, you made use of it in the second half.
Yeah, I didn't even realise how strong the wind probably was in the warm up, but I suppose as you saw some of the points they were kicking there in the first half, down into that goal down there, it probably was more of a factor than we thought it would be. But I suppose we had to use that to our advantage then the second half, and I think we did that, but probably just were too far behind at that stage. It was probably a bit much to come back from, and again I suppose that's down to not having a full solid 30 minutes in the first half, and just turning over the ball too much.
Promotion from Division 2, defeat to Galway in the National League final, you're back up in Division 1, that's all for next year, but this is really the first step of the Championship ladder. It's the first day out, so I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but again, I saw a lot from Cork today, certainly in defence as well, the way he defended in the second half and the way you were able to hold that Kerry forward line, scoreless from open play, that bodes well for 2 very tough upcoming games against Tip and Waterford.
Yeah, definitely. And look, we definitely won't get anything easy against Tipperary next week, so I suppose that's our next focus. We're just taking it week by week. I suppose the way the Munster Championship is, it's week on week and a round robin, so we've 2 tough games coming up, so we kind of have to reset quickly enough. We kind of have to put this to bed, as I said, take the learnings from it, but it's Tip next, so all our focus will be on that.
a lot of the younger players as well got up close, and Kerry in a championship provincial match today coming off the bench. The bench actually made a positive difference. Again, something that Joe and his backroom team have been looking to build since they came in, and that's going to help them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I suppose, we have a few injuries at the moment, the likes of Sarah Leahy, Mara Callan, I think, and Anna Terry and stuff like that. So that's what we have a big panel for, and it's great to get for girls to get experience like that, especially against Kerry. Like, they're not going to get a tougher test than that. But yeah, I suppose hopefully as well that we do get those injuries back in the next few weeks and keep driving on for competition for places.
And just finally, it is the Munster Championship. You need to try and get to a Munster final and win it to give yourselves a better scene in the All-Ireland Championship, but you won't be looking beyond tip next week.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can. I suppose we've always had tough battles with Tip. I think we only got out of there with a point spare in Mallow last year, and sure, Waterford are, had a very good Division 1 this year as well. So we know we've two massive battles ahead. But look, hopefully we can get back to that Munster final, whoever it is, and just get back to the Munster final.
Thanks, Mila.
That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Piemont United have gotten a second goal in Turner's Cross, so things do look done and dusted there in the All-Ireland Cup. Best of luck to Cork City men's team tonight against Sligo Rovers up in the showgrounds. The importance of this one cannot be understated. And a huge, huge best of luck to Pat Ryan and his Rebels tomorrow in the park against Tipperary. We know you'll get the job done and get that win on the board. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next. And... up the Rebels.